أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One of the most quoted ayat of Surah Al-Zariyat is ayah number 56, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn and the human beings except that they should do my ibadah, that they should serve me. It continues to say, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُم مِّن رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ. I don't desire, I don't want from them any sustenance, nor do I want them to feed me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّازِقُ. Indeed, Allah is their provider. ذو القوة المتين, the one who possesses all power and all strength. And since the word ibadah is usually translated as worship or devotion, many times we think of worship as consisting of the moving rituals that's performed by the limbs. So we've got to understand what ibadah is. The Arabic word abd, from which comes ubudiyah or ibadah, is servitude or obedience to Allah. But the meaning is encompassed by what abada means, that which is smooth, that which creates no friction. The relationship is a symbiotic one. The root word is abada, as I said, to render easy, implying that to truly submit to divinity is to allow ourselves ease. In Arabic, when something is totally submissive, with no opposition or resistance, its condition is said to be ta'abbud, maybe I could say worshipful. A mu'abbad, a worshipful person, is one who is at peace and obedience with no trace of resistance or rebellion. And this is a condition that a person should have only in respect to Allah. The meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, which we recite 10 times a day in Salah, or at least 10 times a day in Salah, is actually saying total submission to Allah and total resistance to other than Allah. That is why we say you and you alone do we worship. Ultimately, it's the recognition that we are of no significance unless it's because of the divine program that began before our involvement in it. We're already slaves to this reality. The issue is the word slave, because the moment we say slave, we think it's oppression and exploitation. But that's not true of the Arabic word abd, from which comes ubudiyah, which is servitude or obedience to Allah. There is a true proximity between the rabb and the abd. It's like coal and fire. When coal is close to the fire, it takes on the qualities of the fire and exhibits these to the onlooker. It's all light and brilliance and energy, but the moment it is removed from the proximity to the fire, it becomes just that, a lump of coal. So ubudiyah, for its part, makes us recognize that we have within us the original blueprint that allows us to develop into true reflectors of divinity, whilst also training us to exercise our faculties and senses to sort of get greater benefit from them. As human beings, we sort of only rely on the five main senses and forget that we have a sixth sense. And we need to develop it by seeking the soul. In order to hear the soul, we need to do a few things. First of all, we've got to acknowledge that there's a struggle. The inside wants to go towards Allah, but the outside is resisting. We've got to always aim to relieve this tension between the body and the soul, not by negating one, but by accepting it, acknowledging it, and finding a solution. We've got to accept that the body feels good by doing things it shouldn't. So we should therefore be able to try and tell it what is right and wrong for it. Recognize that we're not bodies with souls in it, but we're spiritual beings encased in a body. And this is probably the first step to changing our thought process and continually reminding ourselves, developing a sense which gives us the ability to listen to our soul. And the best way to do this is salah, but total commitment to salah. You know, we make a lot of effort to ensure our physical well-being is at peace, such as yoga or meditation or life coaching. But absolutely every one of those is encompassed in salah, but with an added benefit. There is Allah in the equation. when he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created the jinn and the human being except for my ibadah. We must remember that the highest action is the one that is undertaken for divinity alone, with no expectations, recognizing that it is ultimately divinity that will take us towards our full potential. I'd like to end with a quote from Surah An-Nahl, that's Surah number 16, Ayah 97, where Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, whoever does a righteous deed, a good deed, whether male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, but he's one who trusts, who believes in Allah, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, we will make him live a tayyib, a happy, a beautiful life, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and we will give them the reward for the best of what they did. Absolutely adore this ayah. So maybe, just maybe, if we're not happy within ourselves, we're not content within ourselves, maybe we're doing things for other than Allah. Maybe we should have a little bit of a paradigm shift and sort of develop the sixth sense in knowing that only He can make us reach our full potential. Only He can grant us what we actually want from our innermost souls. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a tawfiq so that we may be His abd totally. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم.